the title, the, if you like, a title, the I don't know if you want to call it the theme, but people came up with the idea, let's call today, or Knowing the Truth or something like that. What was it? The Truth of Easter. And the trouble is, when you get, when you've got about half an hour, maybe three quarters an hour maximum, to get the truth of Easter into a message that does it justice, it's like, how do we bring the whole of the universe and explain it in 45 minutes? And so what I'm doing today is just taking a portion of the truth. I don't believe in there are many, many truths. You know, people talk about your truth, my truth. That's just a way of saying what you think is true and what I think is true. And if that doesn't match what I think of true, then we've got either disagreement, conflict, or we just have to agree to disagree. But there is absolute truth. I believe in absolutes. There is absolute truth. And people who are convinced there isn't any absolute truth, they can't be absolutely sure, because that would create an absolute. And so, you know, even Dawkins, when he was asked, he can't be absolutely sure there's no God. And that shocked some of the atheists, because they thought he was. But how can anybody who has turned away from God be absolutely sure of anything anymore? Because the Lord is truth. And when you meet the person that is truth, then a whole lot of things start to make sense. And a whole lot of things take on their proper reality. And creation starts to make sense. And even the meaning of life, which is to be known by Him and to know Him and to live eternally in His love, representing Him and expressing Him, that's the meaning of life. Because God is life. God originated life. God's created life. He sustains life. Take God out of the picture, nothing exists. And so God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the exact imprint of the God we cannot see, or most of us have not seen in that sense, the one that we can't see because He's spirit, Jesus became the physical representation of the one we could not see. That's what gives us huge advantage when we recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, and we can look at Him and we can see the Father. And so while the world is becoming increasingly confused, at least that's how it appears to me, people are becoming increasingly disconnected from reality. At least that's how it seems to me. People are arguing over things and discussing issues that 30 years ago hadn't even entered our minds. And so the confusion, it's like the slippery slope of confusion has become very steep. And quite a bit of humanity is on a very accelerated descent into a disconnection from the true reality, who is only found in the living God. See, in the living God, we find our true identity. In the living God, we find our true worth. In the living God, we find our true purpose. And it's a big purpose, and it's an eternal purpose. Most things on earth try to speak to a temporal purpose. You're this, you're that. You can say you're this, you can say you're that. This one thing, one week, something else the next week. I mean, it's just become so disconnected from reality. And so the wonderful thing about the gospel is that through the gospel, we're drawn back to the great eternal reality of who God is and who we are to Him. We're as created beings, created in His image. And that establishes our value, that establishes our worth, and that establishes our true potential. So, I'm so glad that I was exposed to the gospel at a young age, that into my mind was seeded the knowledge that God is. It gave me a God consciousness, even though at that time it didn't reveal to me exactly how I became one with Him. That came a bit later as the gospel unfolded for me. But right from an early age, I came to the understanding that God is, that Jesus is, that Jesus was the Son of God, and He went to a cross and He died on that cross, but then He rose again and then He ascended into heaven. Right from a very early age, I can remember just coming into agreement with that. And just, but then there came a time when I had to make a choice. I was about 19. When I had to make a choice as to whether I was really going to open my inner world, open my heart, and ask Him to come into my life and commit myself to Him, for Him to be my Lord and my Savior. It wasn't enough to know about Him. It wasn't enough to know a few things about Him, as Jackie so beautifully presented this morning. It wasn't enough just to know about Him. The whole thing with Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life is that He came for us. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And now that you're found, now you know the reality of what you're here for and what your future is. People think that being a Christian is some sort of burden of rules. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Coming to Christ and experiencing Him being alive and well and totally real and living in me was the most liberating thing. It liberated me from heavy rules. Because the heavy rules were just heavy in me, thinking that I needed to follow those rules to somehow be okay with God. But I didn't realize that it was so much more than that. That's what people had reduced it to, but it wasn't the heart of God. And so when I encountered Him, when I met Him, and I say met Him like you'd meet any human being, like I would, if I didn't know Ruth, like I would meet Ruth, like I'd meet Grant. I'm feeling His hand. Not that warm. But it's a decent size.
It's right, bro. You're heaven, right?
I met Jesus. I met Him. The day I opened my heart and received Jesus into my life as my Lord and Savior at a healing meeting in City New Life Church, Jesus was more real to me than anybody in the room. Everybody else in the room was a real person. They were there. I could see them. And my cousin who was with me was talking with me and asking questions. But the reality of Jesus being alive and being in me and having come in and taken up residency in me was more real than anybody in the room. And to a degree right now, He's more real to me than any of you are. That's a weird thing, but it's reality. Because I'm talking spiritual, eternal truth. And so I used to wonder why God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, was just always on my mind. From then on, I'd be building, nailing down roof nails, doing jewelry, whatever it was, putting in boxing to build a dam so you could heat your coffee. Me and a few others. And always just, and I'm thinking, it's because He's with me, He's in me. And He's my reality. That's the reality of being in Christ. He becomes one with us. And then there's this unfolding learning journey of what life is really about and what our meaning really is and how God really thinks of us and the plans He has for us and the eternity He has for us and the joy He has for us. And the power to overcome difficulties and challenges. I'm a bit unstable on my feet, not because of the Holy Ghost, just because I wasn't walking very well. But the reality of his presence, you see, he introduces us to the true reality. And it's better than I ever thought. The truth, the gospel, the beauty of who Jesus is and who the Father is better than I ever thought. It becomes more wondrous with every truth that gets revealed. And the futility and the hopelessness of the world and the way the world thinks becomes more stark. It's not wanting the world. It's not like the woman who came out of that city that was about to be destroyed and they were warned not to turn, not don't look back at it. Don't hunger for that thing. Don't look back at it, wishing you could go back there. And the dear woman did turn around and then she was destroyed. Once you've tasted of the goodness of God, once you've tasted of the beauty of the gospel, you don't turn around and wish you could go back into that world system, into that sin, into that darkness, into that confusion, into that rebellion against God. You don't hunger for it anymore because you know that what you're tasting is so much better. Come taste and see that the Lord is good. He's better than honey in the rock. And so this is not really my message. Is it so that when you come to know Jesus, everything's just sweet from then on? No, he never promised that. Some people think he promised it, but he didn't. He said that this life would have many challenges, many difficulties, many trials. But he said he'd deliver us out of them all. And he provides us a power and an inner strength called the Holy Spirit, which is his very own spirit. He's a person. And he provides us grace and power in here, even though when our heart can be cut to the core with grief, there's this power, there's this energy, there's this life of God that works in you to heal your heart and to lift your heart and to bring your heart back into a place where you can sing again, where you can rejoice again. When it seemed like that valley you were passing through, it felt like there'd be no end to it. But because God has come to us, because Jesus has come to us, and he's made the way for us to receive his very presence, then even though we walk through those valleys, we come out the other side because he gets us out the other side. And he leads us into places where we can lie down and be refreshed by beautiful bubbling water, and to lie down in green pastures. There's plenty of sustenance for our souls and our spirits and our whole being. So God didn't promise us that it would all be easy. But what this phase we're in right now is something we're passing through. Everything you see around you, both on the natural realm, the political realm, the geopolitical realm, the threats that are ahead of us, realm, whatever they may look like, all of it is a temporary state of affairs. But because God is with us, because we've opened our hearts to the gospel and we've received Jesus Christ, he said he'll get us through that all, and because we're going to be faithful to him, he's going to raise us up and we're going to be ruling and reigning with him. The picture that God has for us is not a short temporal picture. It's a big eternal picture. And as we see ourselves in that, we get the understanding that whatever the challenges and difficulties may be of this time, with the grace of God, we get through that. With the presence of God, we overcome it. With the word of God on our spirit, we stay in a place of wisdom and we connect with eternal wisdom. And rather than being led astray and seduced into the ways of this world, we go through to the other side and we overcome. And then we're equipped to rule and reign with him in wisdom, ruling over the things he's calling us to rule and reign over. I tell you what, it's incredible. The gospel is in phenomenal news. But he seeks and saves lost people. He came and he sought and he saved me. He sought and he saved Janet. He sought and he saved so many, all of you here, those who know Christ, he sought you out and he saved you. And if you're in this tent today and you don't know the Lord yet, if you're an online, you don't know the Lord yet, He is seeking you. He wants to save you, not just for a temporal thing, but for an eternal purpose. And my encouragement to you would be to open your heart and receive Him into you. Receive Jesus into you. Somebody's saying, it might sound a bit cliche-ish, but He's only a prayer away in that sense. But He's not even that far away. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, just this one little statement. It's connected to other statements, but if I connected it to all the other statements, I would have to read you the whole Bible. And He says, for the Son of Man, that's Him. It was a title. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I remember the morning after I received the Lord into my life, Jesus into my life, and asked Him to be my Lord and Savior and handed my life over to Him, turned away from or repented of my sin, at least that bit which I understood. There was more later, and there still is more. Because it's to do with thinking, attitudes, all sorts of things. I remember that first morning I woke up, and I remember waking up and this incredible sense of assurance inside. This incredible sense of assurance that I'm saved. That I'm going to heaven. That heaven is my home. That I didn't have to be fearful anymore. I didn't have to wonder about the future so much anymore. I didn't have to be fearful about whether I could be good enough, whether I could do enough, whether I could this enough, that enough. I didn't have to worry about that anymore. I just had this deep sense of I'm saved, and the assurance of it was just absolutely fabulous. I remember looking out the window, and the grass was greener, the sky was bluer, the sun was brighter. The broom that was in, I think the broom was in flower on the hills, that was more yellow than I'd ever seen it before. That's the beginning. That was the beginning of my new life. That was the beginning of being a new creation. Because I was once lost, and now I'm found. It's just a phenomenal. I didn't even set my timer going. In that verse, and for those of you who've been around a while, in that verse in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus was quoting Ezekiel chapter 34. And he takes this quote out of this passage in Ezekiel, one of the great prophets of what we call the Old Testament. In verse 15, it says, I will feed my sheep, and I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord God. Verse 16, I will seek that which was lost and bring back that which has strayed, and I will bandage the hurt and the crippled and will strengthen the weak and the sick. But here's the other side of the coin. This is the Amplified, by the way. Reads a little differently, just reads a little fuller. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. You're not talking about your body shape or the fact you've been to the gym and working out a lot and you're strong. And this is the fat and the strong he's talking about, who have become hard-hearted and perverse. I will feed them with judgment and punishment. Whoa, that's the other side of the coin. But the side of the coin I love and I enjoy and I've partaken of is the side of the coin. If we want to use that kind of imagery, I will seek that which was lost and bring back that which has strayed, and I will bandage the hurt and the crippled and will strengthen the weak and the sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. Those who have become hard-hearted, nothing can penetrate it, and perverse. I will feed them with judgment and punishment. But here he is in Luke 19 saying, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. I tell you what, have you ever felt really lost? Anybody ever felt really lost? Just put up your hand. I'm talking about naturally. You feel really lost. Well, Janet knows one of the times I felt the most lost, naturally, was in Paris. Just before GPS was more accessible, so we had maps. Janet's a very good map reader, good navigator, did it for her father in the vintage car club. Very good at it. We just rented a little Peugeot station wagon, Euro lease, put all our bags in it. Had two lots of instructions, one from Google, one from the company we rented from. Both said different things. So went out the driveway, had to turn left. Immediately I'm fighting my natural response to being in a left-hand drive car. First time ever, and the dumbest thing of all to do that in Paris. And immediately I'm faced with a decision. Do I obey Google or do I obey the people we just rented it off? I don't know who I obeyed, but I went one way. There was only a choice of two. Immediately we came to roadworks, and immediately there was pressure because I had to make a decision very quickly to go up a ramp that would look like it was temporary, and of course it had nothing to do with any of the maps or anything. And this ramp led onto the motorway, the big motorway that goes right around Paris. And where we were wanting to go to Reims, which was out east. And we got onto this motorway and we were going the wrong way. And on the motorway, I'm fighting my natural responses. I'm starting to feel lost. I'm starting to feel like I don't know where I am. I'm starting to feel like I'm out of control, not out of control of the car, but I'm out of control in terms of being able to make decisions that get us to where we've got to go safely. And on a motorway, you don't have a lot of choices. You've just got to stay in that lane. You've just got to keep going in that lane. It seems like you've got no choices. And sometimes life can feel like that. It feels like we're locked into the situation, and it feels like we've got no choices, and we don't like the direction this is going, and it feels like it's just taking us further away from where we're meant to be going. Life can feel like that at times, but I tell you what, there is a choice. There's a choice that's presented to us today. We either receive Jesus for who he is and who he says he is, and we enter into the truth, and we enter into the way, and we enter into the life, or we keep trying to make sense of this ourselves and go the way we kind of feel like we're locked into. Well, we were on that track for some time. I don't know, we ended up way out the opposite direction. And then I somehow got off the motorway, got off around to a place where we parked under this overpass, and I could see some buildings, and there were people inside the buildings back and further. They kind of looked like offices. I had no French at all except, I don't know what the words I had. And and I went and knocked on the window, and nobody paid any attention. Nobody came out. Nobody paid any attention. I felt the most incredibly lost I've ever felt in my life. I wished I'd never seen Paris. I wished I'd never rented this car. I wished we'd never come to Europe. I just wanted to go home. And I felt responsible for my wife and my daughter, Danielle, when she was younger, she was with us. I felt so responsible, and I felt like I had no idea where I was. I couldn't speak the language, couldn't read the signs. Oh, it was the most lost. I tell you what, it felt like hell. Well, actually, hell would be a lot worse. And I've never, the feeling of that, if it ever comes back, it's a terrible, terrible feeling. I don't know why it was so intense for me. It just was. Then I went over to somebody, a couple of people waiting at a bus stop, and one of them had a bit of English, and one of them smiled. When you're feeling lost and somebody shows kindness, it's an amazing thing. When you're feeling really lost and somebody shows you kindness, somebody that might know the way, somebody that might be able to help you, It's an incredible thing. That one smile meant so much. And the person communicated a bit and was willing to come over and look at a map. By the meantime, Janet, a card pulled up beside us. Janet had managed to communicate to the person. I think they either knew a bit of English and you knew a little bit of French. Like when she went into the restaurant and she wanted to strike up a conversation with the lady who had a little dog. She said something in French, but in French it said, "I am a dog back at home." The lady understood what she was trying to say. And between those people, we figured out where we were on the map, and we figured out how we were going to get off away and onto some other thing. We got across the other side, and then I felt incredibly lost again. And then a lovely lady in a Mercedes-Benz, somehow I got talking or something, she indicated for us to follow her to a place where we'd be able to get food and that sort of thing. Thank you for your Mercedes-Benz. It was white, just like your one. And so we followed her, got to a place, still didn't have a clue where we were, got a bit of food, I think, figured out a bit more. Took me about 2 or 3 days to get a handle on driving on the other side of the road. And we had future scary moments of feeling lost. But I want to tell you, life can be like that for people, where you don't know, you're on a path, you're on the road, but you don't know where the road's going. You don't like where the road is taking you, but it feels like you can't get off. Might be the road concerning your family, might be a road concerning your marriage, might be your road concerning just where you think the world's going. It feels like you're on a treadmill. You can't get off. I tell you, to invite Jesus into your life, the truth, the way, the life, is the most securing and anchoring and redirecting thing you can ever do. He actually is our GPS. He is our GPS. He knows how to position us. He knows where we are. He knows where we need to go. And he can guide us. His wisdom, his word, his spirit lead us and guide us. Another situation where Jesus had met a person and befriended him because he was seeking and saving the lost. This man was a very rejected man in society, considered just an absolute traitor. But Jesus saw him, called his name, said, "I'm coming to your house." Then when Jesus went into that house, some people who were very strict on certain rules and not mixing with people like that, they were criticizing him, but Jesus said this. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I do not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So Jesus was in the midst of this group of very lost people whose lives were consumed with sin and darkness, which would lead to destruction. Jesus goes right into the middle of it to seek and save the lost. And right here, right now, there may be lost people in this room. Maybe what the Bible would call lost people. You don't have spiritual direction. You don't have relationship with your Heavenly Father. You don't have any assurance of eternal life, which is what He promises. You don't have any of that. You're fishing around in life, wondering how to make sense of all this. But Jesus is right in the midst of us all right now. And he's seeking and wanting to save the lost. In Luke chapter 15, verse 2 to 7, in fact, all of 15, all of Luke 15, Jesus speaks three parables that all reveal God's value on lost people and the joy that heaven experiences when one lost person gets found and opens their heart to the Lord and comes home to the Lord. I'd love to read all three of them to you, but in Luke chapter 15, verse 2 to 7, and the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Verse 3, so he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Wow. For some of us, maybe there's somebody here, you thought, man, what do I do to become good enough for God to save me, or for God to give me eternal life, or for me to be okay with God? What do I have to do that would be good enough? How do I live that would be good enough? Well, the bottom line is, you won't be. I don't know anybody here who I could say could be good enough to warrant God's favor. That's the whole point. That's why his salvation is a gift, not wages. And so Jesus puts it in very simple terms. I haven't come to call righteous people repent. I've come to seek and save the lost. And people who are bound in sin, caught up in sin, know that sin is destroying them, know that it's wrong, whatever. And he's calling you back to himself. And then he's going to put a strength inside of you. He's going to release healing into your heart. He's going to put a strength inside of you and over time help your thinking change from the thinking that's been leading you astray into thinking that is going to align itself with the ways of God and with heaven. It's called transformation. And so none of us here could have been good enough, actually. Which is actually a real relief, because I would have failed. Completely. So when one gets saved, all of heaven rejoices because all of heaven knows the value of a person. All of heaven knows the values of our Heavenly Father. All of heaven knows the eternal repercussions of choices. All of heaven knows that humanity and its frailty and the corruption that has been that got a hold of our souls or has influenced our souls over the years. All of heaven knows that there's nothing we can do to earn this. All of heaven knows that it's an incredible gift of his kindness. And all of heaven knows that when one person receives that gift, that seals them for eternity. And all of heaven rejoices. Much more than we did this morning, really. So I'm going to finish on this. And it's one of the most famous passages that people know and learn in children's ministry, or in my case, in Sunday school. But I'm going to read more than just the bit that we learned, although that bit was highly valuable. It's in John chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 16. And I'm going to read to verse 21. This is reading from the Passion Translation, so very clear and easily understood. For this is Jesus speaking to a man who came to him and asked him all sorts of very important questions about eternal life, about new creation, about phenomenal questions. For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only, his unique Son, as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. That is just. What can you say to that? Did you just hear what I said? So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. Did you hear what I just said? Three people got a little bit excited. Two people clapped. Turn your hearing aids up. So now anyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. Exactly. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and to rescue it. So now there is no longer any condemnation for those who believe in him. But the unbeliever already lives under condemnation because they do not believe the name of God's beloved Son. Woo. And here is the basis of their judgment. The light of God has now come into the world. The light of God has now come into the world. I'm not expecting you to clap. That was just a bit of a game we heard earlier. Do what you want. But I'm saying this. The light of God has come. The world is trying to suppress it. Paganism is trying to smother it. Atheism is trying to disregard it. Twistedness is trying to pervert it. But the light has come. The light has come. The light has already come. The light has come. The light has come. And this light is available for any person at the asking. You want light in your life? Go to the source of light. You want truth in your life? Go to the source of truth. You want life to be your life? Go to the source of life. Because it's already come. It's already come. It's already come. Men wrote it down so we could read it. But it's only the report of the light. It's only describing the light, revealing the light. The true light is the person who comes, because when we read the scriptures, we see the way to him, and he comes to us and he is the light. I want to tell you, it's a wonderful thing, even though we might be walking in some darkness, to have light. It's a wonderful thing not to be living under the confusion of this age. It's a wonderful thing not to be disorientated by confusion and the philosophies of men. It's a wonderful thing to have light. This light is the light of men. And in John 1:1 it says, John 1 says, and darkness could not comprehend it, or darkness could not overwhelm it. This light will never be overwhelmed. Doesn't matter what the schemes of men, what political schemes, what demonic schemes may be worked in the world, the light will never be overcome. It cannot be overcome. It will always rise. It will always break through darkness. It will always rise again. It will always overcome. Because it's the true eternal light. The light of God has now come into the world. But the hearts of people love their darkness more than the light. Do you love darkness more than light? Do you love darkness more than light? Right, well then light will come into your being. But if you love the darkness rather than the light, God will allow you to have the darkness until you get tired of the darkness, until you get fed up with the darkness, or until the darkness hurts us sufficiently that we start to cry out for the light. I've seen people who have known Christ, but their heart starts to desire sin, but their heart starts to desire that which is wrong, that which is destructive, and they go after it, and they go after it, even though the call of God may even be on them. But it gets to the point, if we're so determined to have that thing, he will actually allow us to have it so that the darkness of that thing will cause us to one day realize, man, my goodness, I need to turn away from this. I need the light. There are people all over the world waking up to the light. So the wicked hate the light and try to hide from it, for their lives are fully exposed in the light. But those who love the truth will come out into the light and welcome its exposure, for the light will reveal that their fruitful works were produced by God. What are you going to choose? Are you going to respond to the one who is light? Are you going to respond to the one who's looking for you, seeking you, so that he can save you, so that you can experience his forgiveness and his mercy? Are you going to choose the one who actually went to a cross for you and became all your sin and dysfunction was laid on him, so that all the wrath of God that was due our sin and our rebellion and our hard-heartedness could be poured out on him, so God's righteousness and justice could be met, but also his mercy and his compassion could be displayed for all those who turn to him and believe in him? Why the cross, why the crucifixion of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and the ascension of Jesus is the center point of all history. Because before the cross, people looked for a Messiah that would come. People looked for a city that was not built, that didn't have foundations made by men, but it was something established by God. They knew there was something far greater. They believed in a resurrection. They believed that God was going to save them somehow. And now that Jesus has come, he's been that lamb. He was killed. His blood was shed. All of the beautiful detail and all the fulfillment of the prophecies and the things that God foreshadowed beforehand, those things being fulfilled. Now we look back at that cross. We look back at the fact he was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. We look back at the fact that he was resurrected to show that he had totally overcome our sickness, disease, and all of the sin, so that we could be completely restored back to him in perfect fellowship. Not only that, that we could become temples of his presence and walk with him every day. Not only that, but he ascended to the right hand of the Father, which is the hand of power and authority and rule and reign. And he ascended to that place to rule and reign for the church, for his body that he would build up in the earth. Not only that, but that he would return again as all of creation's king to bring the fullness of his kingdom into this realm. And all the kingdoms of this world would have to bow the knee to him. And every knee and will bow the knee to him, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So he will continue to rule all creation. And all of that is such an incredible unfolding future for us. We've just got pinpointers of understanding. But it's going to be a journey of such wonder. So what are you going to choose? I'm not going to manipulate you. I just want to inform you. You've got to be informed so you can make a choice. How will they believe unless somebody preaches? How will they preach unless they're sent? Me, along with many others, are sent ones to preach and to minister the word that you hear that takes root in your heart by which you're saved. Could we all stand, please? Father, I thank you today for your great kindness to us and all the wonderful things you reveal, and yet there's so much more you're revealing. Lord, we're created beings and you're the creator. And Lord, we're still discovering the majesty of your beauty and your goodness and your kindness. Lord, there's people here this morning that these passages and things I may have said, may have spoken to this morning. And Father, there's something of your word and your gospel has taken root in their hearts. So today, Lord, is a day of decision. It's a day of decision. The scriptures say that today is the day of salvation. There is no better day than today. There really isn't. I'm so glad at the age of 19, I experienced that day of salvation. And I knew that that day was the day. Didn't understand all that it would mean, but I knew that it was going to be a whole new beginning. So I want to give you that choice today. Receive Jesus. Open your heart to him. It's all right, it won't fall over. Open your heart to him. I can tell you by my own experience, he's better and more wonderful than I ever dreamt. I'm so glad he found me. I am so, so glad he found me. I am so deeply, deeply glad that he found me. Because I was pretty willful. I was pretty headstrong. And I was a bit of a smart aleck that thought I could get around this and get around that. But the bottom line is, I was just a rebellious little man that needed to be saved. Because I don't know where that rebellion would have led me. That smart aleck attitude would have taken me. But all I know is this, when I met Jesus, when I opened my heart to Jesus, he is so real, so personal, so profound, so loving, and he saved me. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. Not as bold as what Jesus did for us, but I'm going to ask you to do something bold. I'm going to ask you to come to the front and stand with me, not looking at the people, just standing facing me. And you're opening your heart. And Jesus did what he did for you publicly. Did what he did for us publicly. So if that's you this morning, just come on up and receive Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've been what people might call backslidden, or you've gone cold on him, your heart's gone cold, and you know that it's time to return, time to recommit and open your heart again to the Lord. You come on as well. It's very important that you come as well. Just ask people next to you. I'll go with you if you want to go. I'll go with you if you want to go. Just ask the people next to you. I'll go with you if you want to go. I'll go with you if you want to go. I'm just gonna keep giving it more time because I don't want to rush this profoundly important time. God bless you, sir. God bless you. There's others here as well. There's others here as well. This is the most profound day right now. This is the most profound day. I'm just going to keep waiting. I'm not going to hurry this. This is the most important thing I can do, apart from loving my wife, is to give you an opportunity to receive Christ. There's others. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Nobody's going to hurt you. I'm not going to try and embarrass you. It's not about that at all. This is about receiving Jesus, the one who's been seeking us and wants to save us. Going to give it more time. Don't feel to stop yet. You need to recommit your life to Jesus. Don't turn away from him. Don't put up your hand to him and say no. Because once you say no to the light, the other choice is just all negative. It's not a good course. It's not a good track. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Why are you waiting so long? I'll tell you why. Because people are in the valley of decision. People are tossing it up. But this is far too important to rush. Far, far, far too important to rush. Just let the Spirit of God work. He's drawing you because he loves you. He's drawing you because he sees the future. And he's saying, come, you need a new future. Because that one you're walking on, it's not good. The one I've got for you is the way of life, truth. Thank you, Father. What I want you to do is link hands right across the place. I know that you may not have cleaned your hands and you may feel sensitive to that. Look, okay, if you feel sensitive to it, don't do it. But some of you're not worried about it. Thank you, Heather. Is there somebody here that you feel like you're being chased, you're being pursued, you're being chased by an enemy? Now, it may be a spiritual enemy, darkness, demonic, the devil, whatever, or it could be a natural enemy or a threat of some sort of attack or violence. Who is that? Come on up and join these people as well. Okay. Well, all of heaven's celebrating right now. What's your name again?
Jason.
Jason. Met you just earlier, Jason, only briefly though. God bless you. Have you ever walked with the Lord before? You haven't? This is a big day for you, isn't it? It's a day to begin a new life. Yeah. Jesus has been pursuing you. He's been hunting for you. And he's found you. You may not know a lot just yet. It doesn't matter. Even if you know that much and you open a heart that much, he's gonna meet you. That's very special. God bless you, Peter. There's my friend, very good friend, Peter. Yeah. And I know you came to support Jason. Yeah. How you doing? Good to see you. Yeah. Want to give your life to the Lord? Back to the Lord? Be restored, eh? Yeah. Good. And I think this lady, are you here for the altar call or are you just here to worship? Or?
Both.
You're here for both. Yeah. Here, the altar call and to worship.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What's your name?
Laura.
God bless you, Laura.
Thanks.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Could somebody just come up and be with Laura? Anybody that might know Laura? Or, yeah. And, g'day, what's your name?
Christine.
Christine.
Feels like she's being chased.
Feel like you've been chased. Okay, we're going to pray for you in a bit. Right, I would like you to join with me for all of these beautiful people. And I don't know exactly where each one is at, but all I know is today is a day of new beginning because Jesus has been seeking them. We're going to all pray together. This prayer may not be relevant to you in terms of where you're at with the Lord. You're not praying it for yourself, maybe. You're praying it in support of these people. But it may be very relevant to you right now because you haven't just had the courage to respond. All I can say is this, if you mean this in your heart with the Lord, He's going to respond to you. So how about you pray with me? Just pray after me. Do the best to mean it in your heart. And it's going to be very significant. Father, today,
I acknowledge
that you are,
and that Jesus
is your Son,
and you sent him
to find me.
Because I was lost,
and you came to seek
and to find
the lost.
Today, Lord,
I ask you to forgive me
of all of my sin,
all of my hard-heartedness,
all of my rebellion.
I ask you to cleanse me
and make me clean.
I believe
that Jesus
is your Son,
that he came
to represent you,
but also
to die on a cross,
taking the place
of my sin,
my rebellion,
and taking my place.
Today, Lord,
I ask you to come into my heart,
into my life.
Be my Lord
and my Savior.
I give you my life.
Fill me, Lord,
with your Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you
for making me your child,
or restoring me back to you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Church, let's celebrate. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Father. I pray for you, Jason. Yeah, Father, for Jason right now, I just thank you for him. And Lord, I just thank you that you're the one that can help him untangle what needs to be untangled and to cut away what needs to be cut away. Lord, you can heal his heart.
Lord,
you can heal his mind.
You
can heal his body. Fill him with your power.
Lord,
let him experience
you
day by day.
In
Jesus' name.
Thank you,
Father.
Amen.
God bless you. You all right? Janet, where are you? Good to see you. I just have another lady, Paulette.
Sophie.
You Sophie? Yeah, yeah, okay. Just Paulette come as well. Just both two ladies. Yeah. Now, you had the word of knowledge, so could you pray for... Yeah. Oh, Chase, Jesus. Come on up here. Come on up here. So we're just going to pray for a few people here now. If you really would like prayer into a specific thing, maybe healing or something like that, just come up here. We've got cell group leaders, we've got ministry team people that'll be happy to come and pray with you. Just come on up if you'd like some prayer into this. Just come into this area. Yeah. And God bless you. Have an awesome life. Have a great rest of the weekend. Just be asking God to pour out on us and on the youth and for everybody, what's happening with the young people at the camp. That is fabulous, isn't it? I didn't catch everything that Elise said, but is that gold or silver that's forming on her clothing and in her hair? That's one of the signs of the glory of God. So awesome. That's just fabulous. Yep. God bless you.